don't aim to be better than your competitor because your marketing will just be like, we're better than them. It's like, that's a pretty big promise. Aim to be different.
Matt Purcell, TEDx speaker,
and the personal branding sensei,
working with top brands to elevate their personal branding and marketing strategies.
But was he always this lucky?
So my parents separated when I was six, it was messy. So my mum moved 13, 14 times as a kid, when I was a kid. And she had the envelope system where she'd get her Centrelink payments and from maintenance from the dad and put the cash into the rent envelope, the shoes envelope, the food envelope. And I saw that as a young six-year-old guy going, I am stressed out of my skull that we don't have enough. I went to a new school and I was bullied for being Asian and for being little and new. So I never let money or lack of resource or a label get in the road of what I want. My only limitation with my whole life is, can I imagine it? And if I can imagine it, then I will get there. There's really three things I believe that people aren't successful. One.
Today, we're excited to host Matt Purcell, a man who has redefined the essence of branding and personal development. Born in South Korea and raised amidst challenges, Matt overcame adversity to become an influential figure in Australia's branding and entrepreneurial landscape. Founding KYU Media and co-founding the Business Academy with Boost Juice Janine Ellis, he's reshaped business narratives and ignited exponential growth. What fueled Matt's journey from adversity to award-winning success? Stick around as we uncover Matt's inspiring journey. And don't forget, if you're interested in growing wealth through townhouse development, check out the Little Fish Network. You get coaching, expert access, and community support. It's essentially everything you need to win at property and development. Use the discount code POD20. See you guys in there. Welcome back to Australia's number one podcast. We are the Little Fish, and we speak to the big fish about town each and every week. Please, guys, remember, for every subscribe, follow, or review in 2024, we're donating $1 to EEB, our amazing charity. Epidermolis bullosa.
Oh, I thought you were going to get me to do it. Then you gave me a nudge.
I gave you a nudge because I said EB first. And I haven't done it for a while.
Yeah, epidermolysis bullosa.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. Give that a B+. Worst disease you've never heard of. If you want to make a bigger splash, littlefishpodcast.com.au, the pink button. Worst disease you've never heard of. We're going to find a cure. 2030, we're rocketing towards, guys, so get behind it. Love it.
Absolutely, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, thanks, Benny. Thanks for your input.
Yeah, well, you know, you nailed it.
You know what? I was about to call Matt Nathan then. Thanks to
that
you.
That was my fault, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't. Check
planted
myself.
A shocking seed here.
I'm actually at peace with Matt now, to be honest.
No, I reckon Matt's
turned.
Matt's
well, yeah,
good.
Yeah, we spent a bit of time together. I'm at peace with it.
Yeah.
Matt's sure a good fit. Mate, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us, boys. It's awesome.
It's, mate, looking at doing the research, all that sort of stuff, there's a bit of depth to this story, you know. There's, you know, you've come a long way to be here, and now you're doing amazing things. So, could you be able to sort of get our community up to speed on, you know, where you're from and you know, somewhat what that journey was like to, you know, get to this great country and start kicking goals?
Yeah. So, if people were just listening to my voice, they wouldn't be able to tell that I'm an Asian man, like, because. If I close my eyes, I think I'm like a blonde head.
I'm testing it now.
Yeah, what do I look like, boys?
Now go.
If you didn't see my Asian face.
Yeah, right, little blonde surfer.
Yeah, little blonde surfer.
That's what I was picturing as well.
That's what I thought as well. And so as when I was old enough to understand, I looked at myself in the mirror, and then I looked at my mum and dad and thought, I've been kidnapped. Because my dad looks like Bill Clinton, my mum looks like Hillary. And I'm like, I look like Jackie Chan's son. And I'm like... What the and that's the
Jackie?
Honest truth.
Jackie?
Dad, where are you? And then I grew up in Newcastle, so that's a big country town 2 hours north from Sydney. Newcastle Knights, Newcastle Jets, all that's where we come from. And so I was adopted.
Newcastle Osteopathy, shout out Huffy, Dr. Russell Huff.
Yes,
a good friend of mine.
Nervocastrians, we call them. And so I was told very early on, I mean, through force, that the reason why you don't look like us is because you're adopted. And my parents couldn't have biological kids, so they waited 4 years to adopt a kid, and it was me. And they adopted my sister, who's not my biological sister. She's from Taiwan. And it didn't bother us at all. Like, really didn't bother us. Like, sometimes we walked down the shop, and I could see the eyeballs looking at us going, that looks a bit odd, two Asian little kids holding white people's hands, because it wasn't normal. And I did hear the Morse code. They'd be like, little boy, are you okay? I'm like, yes, no, help me. Yeah, yeah, but it didn't bother me until my parents separated when I was six. So when my parents separated when I was six, it was messy. So my mum moved 13, 14 times as a kid, when I was a kid. And she had the envelope system where she'd get her Centrelink payments and from maintenance from the dad and put the cash into the rent envelope, the shoes envelope, the food envelope. And I saw that as a young six-year-old guy going, I am stressed out of my skull that we don't have enough. And sometimes we never did have enough. And I went to a new school that same year of the divorce, and I was bullied for weeks from several year six kids outnumbered for being Asian and for being little and new. And I was thrown in whiz bins and bruised and battered. And then my dad put me into martial arts lessons to defend myself. And then I thought, cool, I'm just going to Jackie Chan him all in the head now. And I started doing it, and I realized I can't just Will Smith people in the face when everyone would say something bad to me, because the physical bullying stopped when the school got involved. But I realized at a very early age, being exposed to need and being exposed to bullying, that I was on my own. Like, my mom can't come on the bus. I can't hire a security guard. Like, no one can come with me. So I had to be... Some people would look at young people or someone who's making their own lunch at 6 years old, trying to earn money for his mum at under the age of 10 and go, he's so self-efficient, but it's survival. On the outside, it looks like savviness. Internally, it's just, I'm doing this because I need to. And that's where this entrepreneurial drive came from, I think, in my life. I mean, one last quick story. This shows me... It tells me, like, my mum told me this story, I forgot about it. It was year 7 or year 8 camp, and we couldn't afford to send me to boys camp. It was like, my dad put us in a Christian school, but we still had to pay for camps. And she's like, I can't afford to pay $120 to go to camp. I'm like, what, can we borrow the money? And she's like, no, I'm not going to beg your uncles or anything for that. You just, sometimes in life, you just got to let it go. So I went to my school principal as a year 7 kid and went, I want a payment plan. Like, This I'll do whatever it takes, just send me to camp. And he rang my mum up going, I've got a concerning thing from your son. Let us come and have a meeting. And he said, Matt, what are you willing to do to be able to come to camp? And I got to give it to the principal. He was pretty switched on. I said, well, I'll do whatever it takes. Like, I'll wash the toilets for a week. He's like, done. And I'm like, cool. So I'll wash the toilets for a week and earn my way to camp. So I never let money or lack of resource or a label get in the road of what I want. My only limitation with my whole life is, can I imagine it? And if I can imagine it, then I will get there. Don't give me an excuse, I'll find a way. So that's kind of my background, adopted, rejected.
Resilience, man. It's, you know what, some of the most successful, and I probably don't need to tell you this, but that's you know, a trait of a lot of the most successful people, because it builds resilience, right? It makes you understand that life isn't easy. Life's a bitch, and you got to take it on.
Mm-hmm. You can't outsource certain things. Like, you can't outsource your resilience or your toughness or your exams or your income and all that stuff. Like, to a degree, you can get guided. You know, a good guide can tell you that's dangerous, don't go there. But you can't outsource your well-being. You know, because then you become dependent on external factors, validation. And basically, if you have no internal validation of, this is what I want, this is where I want to go, then you're just everyone's. They'll just be like, mate, you look like you should do this, career advisor, you should go there. And you're like, I guess it's the only data point I have. I'll do that.
Yeah.
That's deep, but that's what I am. That's what helps me with my work, is actually depth actually has helped me land some of the biggest clients I've ever wanted to work with and do some really fulfilling work.
You are doing some crazy shit, which we're going to be excited to unpack. Isn't that right? Yeah, like, you are. You really are, man. And it's going to be fascinating to understand how you got into some of these rooms and to build the businesses, because I think we were talking before, you've got the triad of businesses, right? So it's going to be, interesting of how you've been able to go from where you just, that we're just explaining then, to where you are today, which is pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. On the morning show, what, last week?
Yeah.
You know, right. If you're on the morning show, you're going, all right.
Yeah.
Matt, that's awesome, man. And an incredible story of, you know, resilience. You know, those years would have been long, but they would have toughened your skin up for what probably laid ahead.
Mm. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think resilience is one of those, it's like the R word that gets, it's become a bit of a buzzword, isn't it? Oh, you got to become more resilient. And we all agree that it's important. But resilience is built through exposure to hard things. Like in Japanese...
Adversity.
Yep. Like in Japanese philosophy, in order to become a master in something, you seek out a worthy opponent. So that's why you hear in a lot of movies, it's like, give me a worthy death. Like the best person's always seeking. They're bored if they can't find something to take them on. And if we want to be masters at life, I mean, it's funny to want adversary to come to you. You want tough things to come to you. No one goes, I want to wake up in the morning and get punched in the head. But you gotta, if you avoid that altogether, then you deny yourself access to be able to be in certain rooms that requires you to be able to handle the heat. Mm. You know, the old saying is you can't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen. So like, if you want to get to the top, or if you want to be amongst people who are just as ambitious, everyone wants these certain slots wherever you are in life, the obstacle's the way, right? Like,
yeah. Well, it builds that toughness over time, doesn't it? So when that opportunity does arise and that door opens, you're ready. Mm-hmm. You're ready to do that, rather than maybe a door opening, it's like, oh shit, no way.
Yeah.
I can't go in there. I can't get in the kitchen. No way. Yeah. But it sounds like you were ready. So you went to school, you know, you built all that up, you know, where did you go from there? Were you, you know, with the, you know, the old, you know, selling this, selling that, you know, got the stalls sort of thing, always entrepreneurial. How can I spin a dollar? You know, was that you or?
Yeah. So I had got given a guitar when I was 12. And up to that point, I was just mucking around with cricket and soccer and didn't have much going for me other than that. But music really spoke to me. I actually got really good at music and discover that I was quite creative through music. Could hear something on the radio with not much training and know what key it was in and look at a movie and be able to reverse engineer and replicate that. And I thought that was normal for everyone. And as you go on in life, you realize, wow, like I think what my normal is, it's abnormal to other people. It might be my gift, my transferable gift. And so I went all in on music through school and I actually started my first little biz when I was 15, teaching my English teacher guitar at lunchtime. He's like, I'll give you $20 a lesson. I'm like, $20 a lesson? That's $40 an hour. That's sick. And that kicked me off to be able to go, oh, I'm doing guitar lessons, teaching all these primary school kids. You know, like 16, I was earning a few hundred bucks a week teaching guitar.
Cash.
Yeah. Asians love a couple things. We love causing accidents in the road. We love cash. And if your cat's gone missing, it's at my place. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So entrepreneurial from a young age, you know, talk to us, you know, when you started, I guess, expanding into sort of bigger businesses and things like that, you know, how did you, you know, was that, you know, those lessons you learned early on, were they just evident, you know, the way you, I guess, approach people and never took no for an answer and, you know, and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I think I actually learnt personal branding is a very buzzword right now, a very hot word right now. And I discovered the power of it when I was obsession muso going through high school. So I realised this, that I needed a certain skill level to be eligible to be chosen to play behind a band. Like I did a couple of tours with Jimmy Barnes as a guitarist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good friends. I supported Thirsty Merc and a whole bunch of cool, they're all friends of mine now. And I realized that there are guitarists that can play the four chords of these songs. Like it doesn't take, you need at least a skill level to enter the room. But it's not my ability that just got me chosen. I realized it was my likability that got me chosen. So when everyone literally looks the same, in business, every cafe literally has avocado smash, espresso. They all have the same exact menu. So why the hell should I go to them or over the other one? You can't just compete on just the menu. You got to be competing on what makes you different, what makes you more approachable, what makes you likable. That's why customer service is so important and all this stuff. So I realized this as a young bloke, that it was my likability that kept me in the room. My skill, my ability got me in the room. And I was up against all these people. So I started like making sure that I reverse engineered from the decision maker. What do they need to see of me to trust me? And that's all part of personal branding. It's not just about, here's my resume skills. It's like, do I trust this bloke? Do I like this guy? I might have this guy around. If whoever I choose, I'm going to see every day. So I want to make sure that I'm that guy that you can rely on. So head, heart, and hands.
So you've got to have the head for strategy and problem solving. You've got to have the heart of attitude and character, and it's good. And you've got to have the skills with the hands. So I realized that competing with everybody, personal branding was a big key for that to be chosen. And then as I was on the road, I was like 20 or something like that, I realized I'm not going to be able to buy a house doing this. Like, it's so sporadic. So I started a school, and I realized from my music teaching background, I was like, wow, I've got all these students. And I just doubled down on that and hired people from conservatoriums, session musos. And I realized being one-on-one with kids through my tuition, kids were broken in front of me, and music was their escape, but also they needed a mentor. They needed a big brother. And I became that big brother. And I was like, man, there's more to life than just marketing and music. I actually want to help people. So that's where I discovered my heart for kids. And I built that up. We had 3 campuses, 600 families a week, 40 plus staff, sold it a few years ago. But it all started from high school.
Yeah.
And that's where I started, you know, within that vehicle of the business, Facebook, MySpace, all that stuff, whatever was around. I'm like, attention's so important. I knew that from a very young age, because you can't save souls in an empty church. So you could be the best kept secret and be the best singer, best product. You could be the best real estate developer in the world, but if no one knows you, you're useless. Mm. You're absolutely useless if no one knows you.
And you learned that from a young age, by the sounds of it. You joined the dots.
I joined the dots very early on. I need attention not in an attention-seeking way, but you have to be seen and heard to be chosen. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's super important. Plenty of people out there might have the skill set, work on the skills during the night, early in the mornings, all that sort of stuff. But when you get out there, you need people to buy into you and, like you said, be likable, want to have you around. I think it's a massive one. I think that's nearly more important, that likability factor, want to have them around,
yeah,
than even the skill set. Like, we've worked on work sites, tradies, all that sort of stuff, and the way you put on that architrave, if you're a good bloke, good to have a beer with at the end of the day, enjoyable, you're with them 10 hours a day, I'll teach you how to put the arc on, mate. You're a good guy.
Well, think about the love and grace that you extend to people that you like.
Mm.
So if some bad news comes back about someone that you like, what are you going to do? You're going to defend them. You're going to give them, you're going to be like, no, I'm going to find reasons to like them.
Yeah.
Versus someone who's a punish, but they're good at what they do. You're like, oh yeah, he's a dick, but like, he's okay what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're right. Like, likability is totally underrated, but we've been focusing so much on online around how to fill the gap, how to build this, how to do that. And it's like building this idea of human doings on human beings.
Yeah.
People will pay to have the right teachable spirit around.
Yeah, I love that. And is that, you said you just built a school, educational, 600 people, 40 people working there. Is that, what was the messaging in that? Did you use that platform to sort of inspire people in that way?
Yeah, it's
that likability thing.
I'm a big believer in that. No matter where you're at in life, you might go, you just got to use what's in your hand. Like, Moses in the Bible used a rod in his hand to be able to convince Pharaoh to let his people go. It's just a rod, right? And I used my music school.
Mm.
And I realized that there's other competitors again, just like with session musos on cafes. How do I get chosen across the board when we offer similar services? In the principle in Business Academy, we talk about, with Janine Ellis, who's a business partner of mine, we talk about, don't aim to be better than your competitor, because your marketing will just be like, we're better than them. Our service is far superior. It's like, that's a pretty big promise. Aim to be different. Don't try to be...
Don't be better, be different.
Not try to be like, I'm not saying be mediocre.
Yeah.
I'm saying, let your brand and marketing be all about how different you are to everyone. And our branding was, instead of, we're going to help your kids get from grade 1 to grade 9, we said, we're just like family. That's our brand. Because we recognize that we're the big brothers and sisters of the city. And music's one of those healthy shoulder-to-shoulder exercises. So we narrowed in on mentoring with something versus the primary being music and achievement. That was secondary. Mm. And there's a place in the market for stuff like that. There's a place in the market for the Reject Shop, and there's a place in the market for JB Hi-Five, and there's a place in the market for Hyundai's and Bentleys. So you just got to find your point of difference.
Yeah, 100% love that. Like, the you're doing the music here. Plenty of people are doing the music. You go, yeah, we can do the music like the rest of them, but this is what we shine a light on. Mm-hmm. Something else be different.
Sounds like a lot of what you do is you build rapport with people. What's something that you like to do just personally when you first meet someone, and how do you build that rapport and gain that level of trust and that shoulder to shoulder like you speak of?
I ask us to exchange stories. Like, tell me about where you came from and about your struggle as a kid. And it takes people back because, like, well, how's that relevant to what we're doing? And to my view, it's really important to know where you came from. Who am I working with here? And I usually go first and share my story, and it opens up a vulnerability. And it's not a tactic, it's just, I think, how we connect. I struggle to connect with people who just go, oh, here are my trophies. Let's just show our trophies to each other. Mine's bigger than yours. It's like, it's a really hard to realize.
Dick swinging contest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, my dick's bigger than this. Yeah, because I'm Asian. Mine works. But rapport is important. Like, humanizing marketing, humanizing your client, humanizing it. Like, because we can, in business, just so much take it away from the emotion and go, and you got to with decision making sometimes, but when you go, oh yeah, male between 34 and 45 in the eastern suburbs and blah, 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 it's a high level thing. But at any one moment, when someone's watching your video, it's just one person at your screen experiencing what they're seeing at one time. Yeah, so I always bring it back down to the person. Even when I'm speaking on stage to people, I'm like, always think about the person who's in the seat, not the thousands or the hundreds.
So the school, the academy, or not the academy, but the school, the music school you had, so you moved away from that?
Yeah, I've sold that. Yeah.
It sounds like there was a lot of passion in that, in that school that you created. Was that a hard thing?
Yeah, it was really hard. And some of the best memories of my life so far, I reckon forever. And I think I discovered a lot about my purpose in that school. And it didn't die. Like, what it birthed in me was what we're working on now. One of the three businesses I have is education company called Social Kung Fu. That came from that school. Yeah. It came from being in the trenches with helping hundreds of kids a week and knowing that I've helped save kids' lives on the edge of suicide.
Like, yeah, I love that. That's sort of where I was going. It's obviously, not obviously, but yeah, what you've seen and the enjoyment and fulfillment that you had through that now is launching you off into other areas. Can you talk about where it's taken you?
Yeah, it's just interesting how when we look at someone's timeline right now, presently, even though they look at you boys, it's just like you've just landed here. We just have this awful assumption in Australia or in the West of, but you just always have been doing what you're doing at this level. And life is like a heart meter. It's up and down. And that's what makes you laugh. If you flatline, you're dead.
Hmm.
And with my school, I realized, like, I was actually, when we sold it, I felt sad. And I was told, you know what? You did a program in school that really helped a lot of kids. It was the roughest kids in the city. And it was helping with bullying. And that's what you went through, and you should look at that. And through COVID, I actually built that program, and it's now being researched by the University of Sydney by the top psychologist in Australia, Professor Carolyn Hunt. And it will be the first evidence-based program for verbal self-defense in Australia soon. For a kid who actually, I got an asterisk on my HSC, meaning my mark was so low, they give you an asterisk.
I got one too, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yes!
Exactly. Actually, what it was, back in my day, I'm a bit older, they used to do greater than or less than, and mine was
less than 30.
No, less than 10. So you got the less than 10 sign. Hey, I'm fucking here.
When I went through it, you had to, if you got less than 30, you had to pay to find out your score.
Oh, bullshit. Yeah.
What? They find you?
Yeah. Now mine had the less than.
Sold in the wound.
Yeah.
Mine had the less than symbol and a 10 next to it. But hey, doesn't matter where you start, Maddie.
Yeah, that's right. So from that at birth, this desire to take all what I've learned from the campuses and put into a nice compilation of something that doesn't require me to be in every school. The app's being built in Europe at the moment. It's once it's evidence-based, will be submitted to the government because it's on a register of only elite few courses that actually are evidence-based. And
the whole idea is we want to impact a million students across Australia and across the world, to bully-proof their school, to bully-proof their family, to bully-proof that, because it's basically what I told you about my story. I don't want anyone to have to go through that crap and have to result in physical violence, although that is necessary if you need to do it.
Yeah, do you agree, like, you mentioned that with the bullying stuff, which I find fascinating, and you've gone through it. Martial art, you said that you learnt martial arts, and you just said then that, ideally you don't want it to get physical, but,
sometimes
you play the cards, you get dealt sometimes, right?
Yeah.
I guess my question is, all three of my kids do jiu-jitsu, and I put them in when they were younger, and my mindset was, it was like they learned to swim and they learned to do self-defense, right?
Great.
And my mindset was never learn self-defense because I wanted them to be able to fight people. It was more about that bullying piece and having confidence and growing up and going, okay, and this is what I've learned about martial arts, that the fact that they learn the skill that they can protect themselves gives them the confidence that when someone approaches them and they're not ready for it, that they know how to handle that to avoid a fight.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they can fight allows them to have the confidence to make the right decision, because when you get confronted, it's normally fight or flight, right?
Yeah.
So in when you get trained as a martial artist, you get trained to be able to, choose the calm between the chaos. And because you can fight, from my understanding, it means less, you're unlikely to fight because you don't need to. Does that make sense?
That makes
you can
sense.
Diffuse the situation because you can stand there with confidence and say, hey, let's diffuse it, opposed to panicking and you start throwing your arms around because someone's coming at you. So I guess my question was, when you did martial arts, was that was obviously your first mindset, I'm assuming, was because you wanted to kung fu their asses. But as time went on, was that more of your experience? You didn't actually kung fu anyone's ass, but you got this self-confidence to be able to move through life. And when Brucey's going, oh, look at you or whatever, you can just continue to walk with confidence, knowing that there's nothing this guy can do. It really just doesn't matter. And you could, am I making any sense?
It makes total sense, because there's an old phrase that says you can only fight the way you train. So if you have no training, that means you have an empty vacant spot in your ability to handle that situation. You're literally, by definition, defenseless if you have no training or operating system in you to be actually combat that. It's like having a house with no doors or windows. That's how defenseless you are. And everyone's an easy target. That's what I say. Every one of us here, especially you put yourself on the internet, we're easy targets. Someone just put their Lord of the Rings ring on, go invisible and try and comment and say what they want. But you have no line of defense of your identity, then that's for sure. And the hope is that if you learn this stuff, you never have to use it, but you've got it there.
That's the goal, right? So the number one thing as a martial artist is you never want to have to use it, right? If you can get through life without using it, that's the goal.
Yeah.
Opposed to, I think, when people from the outside looking into martial arts can quickly go, oh, I'm going to learn that because I'm going to go kick their ass. But that's not the strategy.
It's not the right...
the strategy is I'm going to learn that so I know how to diffuse the situation, or I know how to handle the situation under extreme pressure, and I can protect myself should I need to.
Yeah, and a lot of dojos have that philosophy straight away. It's like, you did not use this for anything else.
Yeah.
By self-defense. If we find that you've instigated a fight, you're out of this dojo.
Yeah, you're out of it. Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, I love this stuff, and, the app sounds amazing, and it sounds like timing is right for it, I'm raising young kids. They haven't got into that world yet totally. I've got two, young ones at school and two in kinder.
Fuck, how many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Where's a few there.
Anyway, so there's a few there. And they'll hopefully be able to protect each other. But what I'm thinking of, what sort of influence on the app and, the educational piece of it is around the social media and that element, is that playing a role? Because this is, feel like it's a moving target.
Yeah, it is. I think we've got to be very principle driven in education, because the tactics change all the time because the platforms change. Yeah. What I mean by principle driven is that the principle of resilience and how do we actually take a hit, so conditioning.
Yeah.
So one of the exercises of social kung fu is, to build resilience, you need to be able to beat the bullies to the punch. So if I put things online on myself, there's an exercise in our course on the app that will say, well, what could people say about that straight away?
And so is that Eminem preparing seven, yourself
it's
for
like Eminem in Seventh Mile or whatever when
you
he does
got it, man.
Yeah. When he stands there and he just disarms him by everything that he was going to wrap back
he just acknowledges his own weaknesses and takes that power away from him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's one of the first exercises young people need to do, and we guide them through that exercise.
It's a great one.
So we break it into tables. Physically, what would you bash yourself with? I'm Asian, I'm short, blah, 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 blah. Okay, interests, it gets more invisible. What are you into? You're a gamer? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, you're a nerd.
You're wrestling. Oh,
Yeah, and it gets into your past. Then it gets into your beliefs. Then it gets into all these categories. It's like I'm doing a PR exercise on, that's what I do for my clients. So I do a profile background and you have to identify where someone could target. And then you need to input what you think you are. And then you need to input what maybe a spiritual overview of that is. If the gravest conceivable being looked at this, a fair judge looked at this, do you think it's fair, your assessment? Do you think it's fair of their assessment of you? Is it really fair to say that you're ugly? It's like, oh, the society says that, because that gives the person, again, choice. They've got this great spreadsheet table of society's views, bully's views, their view, and a kind but fair judge view.
Impartial, yeah.
Yeah, and that's one of the exercises. So that's a principle-driven way to educate. And then we apply it to tactics with, well, someone, you put a video of yourself up talking about your passion and someone says you're a bitch or you're a dickhead or we're easy targets. Were you prepared for that punch? Did it hurt? Is it okay to feel hurt? Yeah, it's okay to feel hurt. Is it true, but?
Yeah, just because they said it, that's what I say to my kids, who cares? I say, just because such and such said that does not make it true.
Yeah.
And I just drill that in. I go, it's just...
That's what we're testing with the University of Sydney research is, do the students understand, if I get them to actually put in the data entry of what they believe and what the bully believes and all that, that will help them feel that choice. It's like, oh yeah, they can actually do say, yeah, I don't know who they are. That's, I don't care about what they have to say. There's a process to help move people to get to the point of,
and conditioning them. Yeah, it's conditioning them as well. And it's like anything, when you break it down and when you have to write anything down, you have to take it out of your head. You have to really articulate it correctly. So you can have fleeting thoughts about what you think the bullies are thinking about you or what they're saying, or fleeting thoughts about what you think or the partial. But until you actually have to verbalize it or put it down and articulate it, then it becomes a lot more real. And I think, yeah, that makes a total amount of sense, that then it's almost conditioning them to be ready for when it comes and it's not a shock.
You got it. So yeah, that's just one of the 9 modules we go through.
That's crazy. And this is all going to be evidence-based, which, you know, this obviously isn't my arena, but I think the things you look at out there, a lot of people can just do things based on, you know, the way the platforms work. You don't have to tick a certain amount of boxes to have a YouTube channel and say your opinion, but to have something that's evidence-based and gets that tick, sounds like it could be pretty powerful.
Yeah. I think today, the day and age of everyone can have their own view on what your diet should be or how you should fight or how you should respond to things is becoming quite serious now, because you've got even podcasts like Stephen Bartlett's and you've got all that. Their guests they're bringing on is completely different views to the last guest they had on. It's like, oh, you got a vegan on there once, you got a meat carnivore on there, and they could just share perspectives. But these are all experts. So it's like really hard to be able to decipher what. That's why evidence-based is so important, because it's like at least there's been a peer-reviewed objective. I'm not attached and not biased to this to test this out, because God, like, you, I mean, with your expertise too, like how many people can just get up there and you got the 18-year-old developer, he's trying to give tips to things. It's like,
yeah, well, you know what? CoffeeZilla was talking about this in a recent video about the danger of podcasts. For that reason, right? Because I'll give you an example. So you come on as the expert in branding guy, hypothetically, right?
Yeah.
That's you. We're going to get Nathan, Matt. We're going to get Matt and we're going to bring him on because he's the fucking expert in branding. Then we bring him on and we start talking about education because the conversation goes that way. And then this is just a hypothetical scenario. And then Nathan's on a podcast. So he needs to stay in the conversation. So he engages in having an opinion about the education system and where that's going, or something completely irrelevant that he's not an expert in, but he's sitting there in a public forum, professional thing, presenting as an expert because he's been framed as an expert by the host who's taken him down a different road. And instead of not answering it and saying, hey, I don't know anything about this shit, I'm the branding guy, he sits there and goes, yeah, yeah, well, I agree. Like, he's got some kind of informed opinion. And then all of a sudden, like you said, all this unverified information is being spread as truth and stuff. I thought it was fascinating. I watched it. It was only a six-minute video the other day. Mm. And I thought it was kind of explaining that exact same thing.
Yeah, we need good guides more than ever. Information's really important, but you can't alone... Information alone can't answer your tailored questions, and you can't ask your questions. You can't ask it questions. You got to test the source. So guides are really important, but we need to validate. We need to check the checker. Like, who's talking about this stuff? Talk about branding for a second, like what you said about branding. I had this thought the other day, boys, and this could be a bit controversial for the podcast.
Oh, yeah,
this
hey. Bonnie, clip it, Bonnie.
I'll start with the premise first. A logo is only as good, a logo is only as strong and as good as the story it's connected to. Let me say that again. A logo is only as strong and as good as the story it's connected to. And this, and I believe the strongest logo and the strongest personal brand that has lasted for 2,000 years is Jesus Christ. The cross is the logo. And you see a young man or a young woman with a cross around their neck, and automatically it signals what? A certain type of behavior, a certain type of ethics, a certain beliefs. Type of belief. Yeah. If you see a logo, a Nike logo, on a really unhealthy person.
Yeah, he's been to Bali.
You can wear that as a fashion piece, yeah. But does that logo stand for that behavior? Yeah. It doesn't discriminate, maybe. It's like anyone can buy our stuff if you can afford it. Mm. But the ideal of this Nike logo is high performance. Mm. The best, LeBron, Jordan. For the cross, it represents... You know, it's meant to represent forgiveness and a man who came to heaven or earth to be able to help save the world, right? And died for what he believed in. Whether the person who wears that cross on their neck is behaving in that way is another thing. Whether the person wearing the Nike shoes or not is exercising the way that it was made for, that's another thing. But isn't it just so profound that the symbol is nothing without the story? It's just a it's just literally a plus signal.
Oh, it's
yeah, it's a plus signal where he forgot to lift his fucking pen.
Yeah,
it's extremely basic if left without the story.
Yeah,
like everyone got. That's how one of the cruelest ways.
Many people died. I've never heard anyone explain that before. That's a really good analogy.
Yeah, and I believe that with Virgin and Branson. I believe that with Gates and Microsoft. I believe that with Boris and Yellow Brick Road. I believe that with Beachley and what she's doing, like. It always is as strong as the story it's connected to. And whether you have a personal brand representing that story or you have to borrow people's stories and pay them to use it, Nike are credible. Like, I break personal branding into two areas, credibility and relevance. You can be relevant but not credible. You can have heaps of followers on social media. You could be in maths for a while and be popular. I don't respect you because you haven't built shit. You haven't built anything to actually earn that. So you got to use that attention, that relevance to build something credible. And credible is when you have awards, when you have built solid business that regardless if you're known or not, I'm successful in my own right, but one needs the other because you can be credible but not known. Like a great singer in an empty stadium. Mm. And you can be relevant but not credible and you're living gig to gig. You're not an entrepreneur if you don't have an offering like that. If you're an influencer and you have lots of followers, you don't have an offering, you're not an entrepreneur. You're just living gig to gig. So we need both. Mm. And there's really three things I believe that people aren't successful. They're really not successful because of three things. One, you're not good enough. So your marketing's not good enough. Your offering's not good enough. Your service isn't good enough. Or you're not known enough. So people aren't aware of you. You could be good enough, but not known enough. And the last thing, and the third thing is, you're not clear enough. It's not clear why you're different. It's not clear of your offer. It's not clear your value proposition. Your message is terrible. Most people's messages are so unclear. They couldn't tell me why they're different from their competitor. Why Ray White over McGrath? Like, what's the difference? They both sell bloody houses and stuff. You know what I mean? Why McDonald's over, why Pepsi over Coke? Like, these big brands have nailed that difference through story through all these things that aren't as copyable.
Yeah, yeah, you can copy the shape and the logo and stuff.
And the really, colors.
Yeah, and the colors and stuff. That's, I'm glad that we've pivoted to the personal branding, because I know, or branding, but I know personal branding is your specialty. And the people that have been following along at home know that we've been working on, or this year we're slowly starting to work on Pete's personal brand. What kind of tips can you give us? And is there any stories you can tell us about? Because I know you've discovered celebrities and you've built them up from nothing and told those stories. Yeah, can you lift up the hood on maybe one of those journeys and potentially tell me and Pete exactly step by step what we need?
Yeah, sure. So there's 5 levels to personal branding.
Bonnie, clip it.
There's 5 levels to personal branding. First level is the in-house expert. So you could be an amazing worker and expert, but you're not known outside the four walls of that organization. So it'd be the best real estate within Ray White, the best accountant within your whatever accounting firm. And then we move up to local hero. So within your area code, now you're getting a bit of a reputation that you might win a local award. Yes, local leads. Then you move up to regional leader. So this could be Sydney, Queensland, or a big chunk of it. And now you're starting to attract leads and attention and name yourself regionally. That's great. Then we're up to the 4th level, which is micro celebrity. And micro celebrity is a really great place to aspire to be if you're an expert, because you are the sought out person for your particular niche or your particular service. So here's an exercise. Name 7 toothbrushes. Can you name 7 toothbrush brands?
Colgate.
No. Winnie the Pooh.
No, not 7.
No. 7 real estate agents. You probably could, because you're developing.
Yeah.
But 7 accountants.
Still struggle though.
You still struggle.
Yeah, still
and how many bloody are there in Australia?
Yeah.
Tens of thousands. How come I
You struggled actually before, just quietly.
Yeah.
You came out with Ray Quiet. You came out hot with Ray White. And then there was, ooh.
So it's like, if there's so many people out there that, there's 100,000 real estate agents out there, how come I can't think of only, I can only speak of 4? You know, and that's micro celebrity things. It's like the first person that comes to mind is that micro celebrity. They've had enough exposure in front of you. I have this formula. It's called it's 24 hours and 7 touch points. So there's this formula that's there's this study that says that you need at least 8 hours time spent with somebody, 8 hours spent with somebody to get to know them, to become an acquaintance with somebody. So this is Professor Dunbar's research. He said it takes about 0 to 8 hours or 7 hours to become friends, acquaintances. So you need at least 7 hours of content to become from a stranger to an acquaintance. Now, 0 moments of truth was a research done by Google where they looked at everyone's search history and looked at how many touch points does it take to be able to buy someone from scratch. And it was 10.7. So about 11 touch points and 7 hours of content to be able to be memorable and to be able to lead them toward a sale. And most people don't have 7 hours of content. Most people don't have 7 touch points. And that micro celebrity thing is, yes, when I say the word real estate agent, I'm one of the top 7 or top 3. And the top one, 5th one, obviously, is household name. So you've got to look at where you're at in that level.
That's where we're taking PK, mate.
Yeah, we're going to take that head and put it all over New York.
He fucking hates it.
We can do that for you. Now, you've got to look at where am I at right now in the levels. Am I local? Am I regional? You know, I've won awards. Was it a local award? Was it a regional award? Was it a national award? I just won Young Entrepreneur of the Year Sydney.
You did. Congratulations, man.
For media. So that's a regional award. That's not a national award. So there's these things you have to earn in terms of credibility to be able to increase that personal brand, to be able to earn that right to say the RBA is bullcrap with the decision.
You
can carry that weight.
Would you agree that your perception is out in front and you need to always keep your, when it comes to branding, whether it be personal or whatever, but me and Pete have sort of spoken about this before where we feel like our perception is always in front of us and we're always chasing it down. And
you're trying to grow into it.
We're trying to grow into it. Always constantly feel like we're growing into this perception. And we just went through, I know you're good friends of Dane as well from Rival, and we went through that process with Dane, and I feel like, yeah, so just going through that process and minor little tweaks with the brand and understanding and total, yeah, is that
yeah, how it works?
So you're going to love this analogy. I call this the house of personal branding. So you've done the first level with Dane. First level, and that's the hardest and most expensive level, to be frank. It's your message. It's your point of difference. It's your philosophy. It's your values. That stuff can't be copied. Like, that's the uncopyable part, the soul of your brand. And if you skip that part, then you're building a house on sand, not rock. It's going to fall down. So if you skip the brand part and go, oh, it's too bloody expensive, that exercise is painful, I'm just going to wing it, then you're just going straight to the next level, which is content and creation. And you're like, what am I basing it on?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find my identity on the run.
I've been there. You're making it up. And then there's no consistency because you're relying on your memory on what you did 8 pieces of marketing assets ago, or maybe something that works on one kind of asset doesn't flow onto the other, so then you end up creating something to make that work. And then I can tell you, you do that long enough and you end up with a debacle.
You end up with a confused audience.
Correct.
When you confuse, you lose.
Yeah.
Right? You can't bore people into buying. You can't confuse people into that. Like, clarity is everything, especially when you're saturated with everything. So you need to invest heavily into brand, because that's the uncopyable part that gets you super clear on what to create. Once you know who you are, you know what to do. So you go then from the foundation of brand and story and what makes me different to, now let's publish. Let's publish my story. Let's publish my IP. Let's get all this framework together. Let's give value. Let's be the guide, not the hero. If you're the hero, then you're just a sleazy real estate agent going, you want to buy a watch? You want to buy a knife? And it makes it look like you're an egotistical bastard, right? But like, when you're a guide, you want everyone to win. You're sharing generously. And what that does is, bro, guys, is like, when you make the mistake of skipping brand and you just publish, then you're going to have seven audience groups that follow you for different reasons. But when you're clear on what you want, you're building this solid following.
Which
like
is
you guys
highly engaged.
Highly engaged, highly quality. That comes because of brand. And then from publishing, you need to start, you need to package it all up. So now you're building, publishing creates an audience. The input is content. The output is audience, and that engaged audience. Now you need to give them an offer. So if you're a personal brand like you, Pete, and you've got, is it Pete?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you go, I've got a company alongside my brand.
It's Nathan.
Don't do this to me, bro. Don't do this right now.
I have to do it. Sorry.
So if you're a personal brand and you're building it alongside the company, then we've got to web in those, use your personal brand to get people into the offer. So if it's an information night, or if it's your 5 steps to success, or whatever that is, but it's funneling traffic, because we have to build traffic to somewhere. We have to then convert them. Then we have to deliver it. So your part, that personal brand is part of that traffic attraction piece.
It's the top of the funnel, right?
Top
it's the very, very top of the funnel, man. That's where people fall in love with brand, with people, not brands, from, you know, my research. You know, so people, in that being the case, you know, the top of the funnel, that's where they go, oh, that's Pete, I recognize him, he's got the story, he's got the 7 hours of content, whatever. So they fall in love with the message, and then they fall in love with the messenger. So you trust, give me that, PK?
You trust the messenger when you trust the message.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, correct.
And same for the Jesus Christ analogy. Like it's you trust the man. There's the man, the message, and the mission. Right? If you had the message and the mission, but without the man, it actually lays dormant. You really need the right man or the right person to be able to take the risk and martyr themselves potentially for this cause. I believe in this so much that every Australian needs to have this framework for
fucking great analogy, man, because that's what this guy does, man. We just believe in taking development to the everyday people. When we got into it 7-8 years ago, what, no one could do it. It was a secret. It was out in the suburbs, particularly in Melbourne.
Yep.
And we came in from the start and said, you know, we'll just take it to the people. Like, we just made a shit ton of money. This is crazy. Why doesn't anyone teach this stuff or show people how to do it? And that's what we're doing. And Pete has been a martyr for the cause, and I joke around and wind him up. But Pete's not the kind of guy that wants to be fucking, you know what I mean? Like, he's not out here trying to be a micro celebrity, if that kind of makes sense. That's not the goal. But at the same time, we're trying to build a business, and we've got our mission, our million people that we want to educate and help sort of thing.
Beautiful.
So do that, Pete's martyred himself. And I sit here and I say, I appreciate, like, people out there can see how much I love Pete, but like, I appreciate that because I couldn't do that. Does that make sense? I'm not comfortable. I don't even know why, but Pete seems to just, you know,
You just don't think about it.
Just bites the bullet and says, Benny, let's do it, man. Like, well, the mission is bigger, like you said.
Yeah.
And he does understand that that's how people are connecting. They're connecting through him, through his story, through his knowledge, his expertise, and through the value that he's sharing. And that's how we've sort of built the business. So you're spot on, man. And anyone out there listening, like, this advice is just, yeah, it's critical. And I think, I know we're good friends with Adam. He comes to mind, Bundura. Like, he's starting to figure all this stuff out now, right? Mm. And it's a good one for him because he needs to be the man. He needs to put himself up there and be that guy, whether that be
the man, the message, the mission.
Yeah, correct.
The man, the message, the mission.
Yeah, and that's what he's doing, but it hasn't been articulated to him. We haven't even figured that out. Yeah. But now, sitting here talking to Matt, you know, you can see with someone like him, it's very clear what he needs to do. He needs to be Adam Gillett, the boat guy.
Well, correct. And that's the
move
thing.
Away from Bundura Boats and be Adam Gillett.
Well, it's easy to think that the message and the mission, I've got that sorted. Why isn't it working?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Or if it is working, you want it to work more.
There's no one to connect with.
Well, a message needs a messenger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you've got to be able to preach. This is why the Jesus analogy is so good, just even if you're not religious. You have to be the messenger of your mission and your message, you have to be articulate. You have to be in front of crowds. Yeah. You have to be that front man. And like the Bible talks about how the church is a body and there's many parts of a body part. Some are seen and some are hidden. Some are internal organs, but without them, it would shut off. We couldn't breathe without the lungs, but we don't sing songs about the lungs, right? Oh, my lungs. The eyes get the eyes and the smile get the, but we've got to, when we're in an organization or in a team like you guys or in my companies, it's great when everyone votes and says, it makes total sense. When I don't see you here and you're out there, we're winning. We've got a good shot. He's preaching, he's bringing it all in. Feed and lead. Feed and lead. That's what you got to do.
I'm going to get some t-shirts, mate.
Yeah,
that's good stuff.
You see PK in the feed and lead teeth.
Yeah, so from there you productize. So you're like making an offer around that brand. So it's like speaking maybe for personal branding, or you're putting an event on because your face is being known to gather traffic around something, or it's your own personal offerings as a personal brand. It's separate from your company. And then from that you build your profile. So now you've like got a message, you've got publishing, you're productizing, and then you've got all that for PR to be able to help speak about you, because the most powerful way to be presented to the world is when someone else says how good you are.
Spot on.
Yeah, so that's important.
Well, that's how Google works, right? When someone else links to your website, that's someone else putting up their hand saying, this person talking about this topic that I'm an expert on is true and correct.
That's right. But PR and the third party, they need an angle. They need actual material to go. Like if I ring up,
they need intrigue.
If I ring up my mate Laney from Forbes, the CEO, and go, hey Laney, I've got these guys, let's get him in Forbes. He'd be like, cool, what's the angle? What have they done? So you have to have done the work before this. And the top piece is partnerships. So with personal branding, why I love this so much is it leads to individual opportunities like me, like working with Janine Ellis, working with some of these clients that
they're going to have to come back and unpack how that all came about. She's, you know, a legend in the Australian business.
She is like the. I told her she hates this because she's like, oh, that means I'm old. It's like, you're the mother of business owners.
I think there's some truth to that. Yeah.
That's well said.
Yeah. Agreed. Couldn't agree.
So just an example of that is you've got to use, like, you'll be like, well, I'm not Lane Beachley and I'm not these people, Matt, you've mentioned. You've got to, like I said, start with what you have in your hand. A lot of people don't think they're credible at all, but if you've got a business and you've been around for 12, 24 months, you're actually more credible than you think. You've got knowledge, you've got skills that got you where you are. And we've got to start somewhere. That's why I talked about the five levels. And we have to keep building upon that to be able to build a successful personal brand. So I've got people from celebrities like Lane Beachley. He was a 7-time world champion surfer. And that's her credibility. No one can take that away from her. But her challenge was, I'm not relevant. I'll always be a credible retired athlete. But I've got things I want to do outside of this. I want to be in the well-being space. I want to be in the health space. But I don't know how to get there. Matt, help me. So I'm like, okay, surfing's very different to those things. So how do we actually transition over to that way? Now we had to start again at the bottom of the funnel. Of the process of brand. So let's talk about the war stories. Let's talk about your mental health battles. Let's talk about how you're adopted yourself. Let's talk about all the uncopyable things about her life that she struggled with being a seven-time world champion gave her the material to talk about well-being. Gave her the material to talk about, well, I was an athlete, so I had to look after my body.
You build the credibility out.
Yes, flesh out the credibility to match the new marketplace. Mm. Because now she's 50 now. So I was at her 50th birthday party last year. It was a Mexican themed. I suited it because I had a mo. It was great. Mixy Asian. And she said, "Yeah, I'm aging, so that's my audience too. My audience of who see me are aging with me, and how can we age and be healthy together? See, we're actually very aware of how I look and how I'm aging and how I appear perceptionally to tap into that market of health and well-being, even though I'm a seven-time world champion. So success for us was after a few years, she had followership of maybe 21,000 on Instagram and a few, she's up to 106 or 108,000 now, very highly engaged on socials, and hosted her first well-being TV program last year on Channel 10. And that came as a result of a lot of the work we've been doing with Lane, because we positioned the message away from athletes into well-being, and then she was the first to come to mind to be a host for the show.
Yeah, that's right. Science, isn't it?
There is some science behind it, but it's like it takes a guide like us. Like I'm like the personal branding sensei. So what I do is I can spot gold. I'm like, that's usable. That's not. That's usable. That's not. And then we put in a plan and we execute it with those five things I talked about. It's very individualized.
I think in where you're starting, you start from step one, and you're not trying to create something that isn't there as well. You're taking their own personal experience.
Bang.
Yeah.
So that makes it so hard to copy.
Because so many people trying to sell things that, not that they don't exist, but that there's not a lot of substance to it. If where you start with step one, with their personal story, it's all real and they can relate to it and it's there. Yeah. And then you build, you pick out the gold and you find the gold and then build on that.
What pisses me off the most, man, is when I've seen courses or people online who are regurgitating word for word someone else's framework or someone else's knowledge. Like I've seen this course with one time, and this person was just spitting Tony Robbins word for word and selling her own course. I'm just like, that's the most disgusting thing ever.
They probably don't even understand what they're doing either.
Yeah, well, there's nothing new under the sun. I get that. But if you don't connect it to yourself and it's not from your real life experience, it loses that substance. You're right. And we know that
people eventually start to see through that. We speak a lot about authenticity. Like, you have to be real, and you've got to be able to connect with people to really force it, or not force it, but to really build trust and
cut through.
Cut through. That's right. You've got to trust the messenger.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question about one of your clients?
Yeah.
So I've been doing a bit of research. Yeah. So Erin Deering, correct?
Yeah.
So she's one of your clients. Now, can you talk us through what you did with Erin and that journey? Because she's killing it, man. Her brand, she's obviously done well.
Erin Deering is the co-founder of Triangle Swimwear. So she was like the genius behind gift marketing. So she just basically, they had no budget to be able to pay big celebrities to wear their swimwear. So she decided to gift all of Kendall Jenner's friends swimmers around Kendall, and that created FOMO in Kendall. And then she reached out to Erin and said, "Can I get a pair?" And she posted on Twitter and blew up in America. And her company was worth $200 million, Triangle. And she exited, she sold, and she was the third richest woman under 40 in Australia. And she's still under 40 now. She's a wonderful person and a dear friend of mine now. And so Erin and I did a strategy session around a personal brand, because she was interested in doing mentoring and consulting and maybe doing a business academy kind of style thing. And we fleshed it all out. We did the whole exercise, what I talked about. And she said, at the same time, I've actually got a book deal that I'm writing my memoir with, so I need to be able to get that book out there and they'll build my profile. It's like, easier said than done. Books have a shoestring budget for marketing. I think we had $400 for a book launch. I mean, how are you meant to be the bestseller without that? So her marketing genius, our resources, we did giveaways, we did a whole bunch of stories from the book,
We were on podcasts, we got PR, like it, she was everywhere during this time because it was so intentional what we're trying to do. And to her credit, she put her money where her mouth is and resourced this all properly. She does things very properly, didn't shortcut anything. And that's why she got the best results. And as a result of that, she got number one on Booktopia in pre-sale, which is amazing. And she's in every bookstore across Australia. And she's on Vogue, she's in all these places that you're meant to be when you're in that fashion industry. And it's all a result of her story, again, from the memoir, and just packaging it right and publishing it right and being in the right places. And she went from 20,000 something followers to like 40,000 a few months or something like that. It was just exponential growth across most channels. And yeah, as a result of it, we manage her speaking gigs. So like, you know, she's getting 5-figure speaking gigs, you know, from this as well. So it's great. This is the result of when you have a good story and you've got the credibility, but you've got to use it in the right way so it doesn't come across.
Look at me.
Yeah, it's just been accurate of what happened rather than saying, oh, I'm trying to prove myself. She has a real strong, like the mission, the man, the message, the message is so key for her. Her message, we crafted with her.
So what can you give us, high level, what was the, can you give us, break those, so the man.
Yeah. Yeah. So the message has to be about a pain point and a pain relief. And her struggle, personal struggle, is she didn't have any self-care and it's all documented in a book. Like she had an eating disorder, she was earning millions of dollars, but was using those millions of dollars to be able to fill up a void in her life. And it was through my process of saying, hey, you were insecure before you became a millionaire. Now you're an insecure millionaire who has $1 million to be insecure with.
Yeah.
So it's being able to spin it that way to go like, listen, I've been to that place where you think money will solve you things, but we're helping come up with phrases, even simply to taglines to go like, once you solve your money problems, you're left with problems that money can't solve.
Yeah.
You know, and she had that. And so she articulated that. She shared stories about how she used to try and fix her insecurity with buying clothes and things like that. And she's a self-care queen. She's a self-love, self-care queen. You can have self-love and success. And that was the whole process of the branding piece that we went through. The biggest thing I love about it was we're able to articulate you can have success and self-care. It's not one or the other. But there is a narrative that you can't have success. You can only have success if you divorce yourself from actually loving yourself because it requires you to put your family last, put yourself last. And that was the big message that I'm really proud of with working with Erin. And that's what I love about my job is creating the mission and message with people. Yeah.
Have you done any discovery where you've discovered, you know, where you, just in random places or something where you've sort of seen someone? Being a personal brand guy, I feel like you walk through the world looking at people going, dude, you look like you.
All the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I see gold in people all the time. I mean, that's my gift.
That's the word. You see gold in people and you can sort of see through and go, this will work. This story will resonate in this market. So have you, I guess, through your journey, have you identified any yourself where they haven't even started their journey and you're like, hey man, have you ever thought about doing
XYZ? I'll even give you a staff example. So in Newcastle, I ran this workshop with these young entrepreneurs. It was called like Young Entrepreneurs Club. Council paid me. And all these kids came along for free. And there was this one guy named Jasper. And he was this introvert, handsome young guy, 19 or 20 years old. And he was quiet and didn't say a word. And he came up to me at the end of the class. He said, hey, man, I just want to show you this thing. And it was this amazing motion graphics thing for his chicken shop that he works part-time at. And it was like raining chicken legs. And it was all this crazy shit. And I'm like, this guy's crazy talented. He has no idea how good he is. I said, hey, how would you like a job? He's like, what? Then when I started an agency in Sydney from Newcastle, I was like, I rang him and I'm like, I'd love for you to be our editor. He's like, oh, I've never done it before. I'm like, it doesn't matter. I reckon you can grow into it. And he said, I'm choosing unis. If you offer me a job, I'll choose Sydney Uni so I can work with you. I said, great. So he moved for me or part of the reason for me. And 2 years later, he's doing commercials for Amex.
this 22-year-old, he's doing the Wallabies campaign that's been shown at the stadium. And I'm like, that is the most beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's pretty easy. And he had no idea.
Well, he had the talent, but sometimes we're only a certain piece of our own puzzle, you know, and we've got to, listen, here's a very philosophical exercise. Pete, can you see what you look like right now?
Yeah.
Can you really? Can you actually see your face?
No, but I could if you wanted me to. Yeah.
Well, what would you need? In there.
A mirror.
You would need a mirror.
Yes.
So you can't actually see yourself.
No.
Without a reflection.
Nope.
I can only see a percentage of my body. So why the hell do we think that we can actually see our potential by ourselves?
So we need others.
We need others. Yeah. You need someone to go, sometimes it's like your father, I see this, you don't see it. Or it's your boss. Mate, you don't see it, but I believe if you did this with me, I'd unlock something in you. Mm. How many people in our lives, if we had someone say, like, maybe it was someone virtually put that belief in you? And they're like, oh, wow, that belief in me is way more than my current belief in what... And I'll say this across anyone who's successful I've ever worked with, had a greater belief in what they wanted to achieve than their current reality. People say, you can't do that. Like, Janine, you can't open 100 stores in 4 years and boost juice. Like, well, yeah, you don't have any business experience. You're a single mum. You're a mum with 3 kids. So, but that belief in her and others in that helped to get there.
Yeah. Can I ask a question about Janine? Because, I mean, I'm a shark tanker from way back. What's maybe one thing you could tell us? Because like, I think it's... We all agree that she would be, she's one of the goats of Australian business. Having worked with her now, launched a business, gone through that process, sounds like you're a bit of a sounding board for her as well. But what's one piece of advice or something that you've learnt that from working with Janine that you treasure or that's been, pivotal? Deep question.
There's so much. Janine Ellis, I think, is just like I said, she's the mother of business owners. What I mean by that is we gravitate toward our parents, particularly in times of uncertainty and for guidance. And what I respect about her is she wasn't spoon-fed or she came literally from no knowledge. And she did all the hard work and got burnt through the process. She shares her stories of like business partner not working or not having your logos trademarked and all this stuff. So what I respect about her is get the boring stuff right.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
The boring stuff.
The details.
The boring stuff is like get your numbers sorted, like get your trademark registered, get all the stuff that seems so unsexy sorted, because she's seen so many businesses through Shark Tank under the bonnet of so many businesses and also in her own business, where she's gone and invested in someone's businesses, but they don't own the IP for their own business that they're investing in. That's the boring stuff. And the boring stuff is getting someone to control certain areas that you're weak in, like money. And those things enable you to be able to go to bed at night and sleep.
Yeah.
Knowing that something's not gonna happen bad in the night. So I know that I've worked with other business owners which don't have as much knowledge as she does from the ground up because they didn't start from the ground up. They bought in already an established place. She could literally walk into a store right now and say, move this around.
Turn it around, absolutely. Especially in that hospitality space.
Yeah, not many people can do that. They could just give you strategy and ideas and big business ideas. That's okay. But she can actually go all the way up. So I love that about Janine.
Crazy. Great advice. And a great business partner to be involved with.
Yeah. How did you meet? Love just quickly, like, how did you connect with Janine and convince her that you were the guy to go into business with?
It's just very organic. Do you know what I love about podcasts?
Likeable.
It's just... likeable. I was just a likeable guy. Yeah.
That's funny. This Nathan guy's a nice guy.
Oh, Nathan person. Listen, I actually met her on my podcast. So authentic. Your next business partner might be a guest on your podcast.
What are we doing now?
Well, boy, maybe get his name right before he
yeah stuff you yeah. So we met on my podcast many years ago and we stayed in touch.
Yeah,
and
we're
admirers of each other's work for years, and 2 years ago we were just spitting ideas to each other going, I said to Janine, you look a bit bored. What are you doing? Traveling to Amsterdam and snowboarding.
You look like you're living the dream, but you're bored, aren't you? He's like, yeah, I'm helping people there. I love helping. You know, I'm helping people secretly and blah, blah, blah. But we got this idea. And we started Business Academy as a concept for business school, for schools, for unis and for schools. And then she decided, let's just do it for Australian businesses. Let's just open it up. And we took 18 months to develop the content from her own experience. We took our time before we actually started the company. So we took 18 months. It's coaching. So their first course is 4 days and she's there every day. Great access to Janine with coaches that we've approved of her who have scaled and exited or MBA in business. And they're all frameworks that she uses in Boost and Betty's Burgers. And we've got people who are reaching out that have 40 franchises from another place or they're 8, 9 figures. We've got people who are just starting out. And I said to Janine, would this content suit everybody? Like, I've got pretty big people inquiring about this. And she's like, the big companies need it the most. Yeah, right. They forget this stuff. Yeah. Mm. And I'm like, wow, okay. So it's all from her lived and learned experience. And we're bringing other people on as we grow the business, other legends of business to join the academy to be good guides for business owners.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's it. Amazing stuff you're doing, mate. And secondly, congratulations, man, on your, you know, on your journey. You know, the journey to get to Australia and now the splash that you're making over here. I feel like there's a real sort of genuine element to it and a helping element and an authentic element to it. You know, you're not just sort of off chasing the shiny things. It feels like there's a real
cash grabbing. There's some substance and depth to it, PK. Substance like the bully stuff's amazing, man. Like,
yeah.
You know, Pete, like I said before, he's got half a dozen kids. I've got my I've got three. And yeah, when you have kids, it just changes everything, the way that you look at all that stuff. And I think
it's just refreshing to hear.
Yeah, it's just a different perspective because they talk about it at school a lot, but it seems like there's not enough or not a lot of action. And it's probably because it's complicated and difficult. Mm. If it was easy, it'd be solved, right? But it sounds like you've got a different look at it and some strategies that make fucking sense to me.
Well, some port pioneers in the space as well, you know, like some people do it, something this, that, you know, but yeah, you're doing it properly by the sounds
because
of it.
Because I tell you, I want to just back over this because I think if you're trying to teach the kid not to bully, it won't work because the kid's a kid. You can't, like, it's just kids are going to be kids, right? So being able to go to the person that's getting bullied and control that and how they're receiving it, it makes total sense.
It's nearly like
flipping it.
Lack of a, but double-sided marketplace. So if the kid that's getting bullied, he's handled it properly, it'll probably minimize the bullying.
It diffuses
because there won't be reaction and the bully might move on and then suddenly the bully's getting no oxygen. What happens when you get no oxygen? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you got no fuel.
It's deeper than just going, don't bully. Bullying's bad.
Oh, that's what bullying seminars have been for years. Like, bully, stop it.
Yeah, yeah, like, that bully is bad. Don't bully. You shouldn't bully. Don't make sure you don't bully. That's bullying, you know what I mean? But the reality is, that's the wrong message. Yeah, it's helping the people that are getting bullied just to deflect it.
Yeah.
100%.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Matt, this has been awesome, man. Well done, man. Really authentic chat. Loved it.
Yeah, we'll catch up again.
So you'll have to put Pete's strategy together.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when the strategy's done, if Dane's done it all, then it's time to build the house.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's still time, man. We launched.
Love that analogy, man. Foundations. We only got the foundations, Benny.
The development tank's out there. Harman, man. We made them wait for it, and now it's out there. It's taken off. So, yeah.
The man, the message, the mission.
Let's go.
Let's go.
All right. And that's Matt Purcell. We're mucking around. But please, guys, like, share, subscribe. Jump on littlefishpodcast.com.au. Smash that pink donation button. You can't miss it. Benny's got it there, up there in lights.
So it's a cause that we're trying to find a cure 2030. All right. Is that right? We're going to have a party. We get the cure, we're having a party, and you're all coming.
2030, we're getting there. Love it, guys. See you at the top.
People want to be part of a winning team.
People can find a better version of themselves.
If they choose.
You just need to go start some shit.
Action is all that matters.
Be a man of your word.
I think I look back now and I'm like, whoa, that took some guts.
Be kind. Be kind. Be kind.
See you at the top. New episode every Wednesday.